This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/yourmoney. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, March 30th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Researchers studying Americans' personal finances have been particularly concerned about millennials, the generation born between roughly 1981 and 1996. This group reached adulthood in the wake of the last financial crisis, and that contributed to a wealth gap between them and their elders. But now data is showing that gap is closing.
Homeownership is really the way that millennials are building wealth. Homes are Americans' biggest asset in general. And what these researchers have found is that older millennials are finally starting to own homes at the rate that their parents did at their age, and that's really good news for their wealth.
But the wealth gap isn't closing for all millennials. Coming up, our reporter Rachel Louise Enzine will go through the numbers and explain why some millennials have lost ground. That's after the break.
This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/yourmoney. Terms and conditions apply.
Between the 2008 financial crisis and the rising cost of higher education, millennials have had a harder time building up wealth than most earlier generations. But more recently, things are starting to look up for them. Our reporter, Rachel Louise Enzine, has been looking into this, and she joins us now. Rachel, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rachel, you know, we hear a lot about millennials and their spending habits and their struggles accumulating wealth. But why is that generation so important to people that track these kinds of finances?
Well, I mean, millennials are an enormous generation just in numbers. So it's a huge demographic that matters to, for instance, any company, you know, any bank trying to sell products to people or, you know, retailer trying to do the same. And I think what's really interesting about millennials through this lens is that for so long, millennials were sort of just seen as like the angsty 20-something in the workplace who got a degree in knitting and took on a bunch of student loan debt to do that. But in reality, millennials are actually getting pretty close to middle age on the upper end. Oldest millennials are 40 now. And, you know, this is starting to look at, hey, these aren't just all college kids or kids just out of college who have no money. What do their finances look like? What are they like as home buyers? And, you know, where are they in terms of wealth? And I mean, one of the things that really shows the importance of millennials is just been the whole Robin Hood thing. And obviously, it's not all millennials on Robin Hood, but just the incredible interest in trading and investing. I mean, many of those people are in this age group, and it just shows that they do have extra money and they are interested in putting it to work and hoping for a big payoff, like this, which is how many people, you know, do use Robinhood.
And, you know, for generations, Rachel, homeownership was the cornerstone of building wealth. Has that changed with millennials?
So, I mean, it remains the same as it was for prior generations. Homeownership is really the way that millennials are building wealth. Homes are Americans' biggest asset in general. And what these researchers have found is that older millennials are finally starting to own homes at the rate that their parents did at their age. And that's really good news for their wealth accumulation because homes are such an important part of that.
Yeah, let's talk about that research. It was based on data from the Federal Reserve's Survey of Consumer Finances. There's been a lot of concern that older millennials in particular might not come close to achieving the wealth of their parents or their grandparents. What's changed?
Basically, since, like you said, millennials graduated into the post-financial crisis economy, there's been a lot of concern that they would just never catch up with their parents and grandparents financially. You know, student debt was hobbling them. and, you know, inability to find good jobs that would allow them to pay down that debt and get into a place where they could have a down payment for a home. But it turns out that millennials in their 30s have sort of started to turn things around, and the gap between them and where they're expected to be based on prior generations is closing a lot. So it just 3 years ago in the 2016 survey, it was about 40%, and now it's only 11%. So that's a major shift. And the researchers who oversaw this said, you know, we had been really concerned that these folks would have been a lost generation of wealth, but now it looks like they're just starting later, but catching up pretty quickly.
And we should note that this isn't the case for all millennials. The younger ones, born in the 1990s, they haven't seen the same financial success as their older counterparts. Why is that?
It's a really great question. And those millennials born in the 90s, they are 50% behind where they were expected to be. And given what now seems to be the case with the older millennials, these researchers are kind of thinking perhaps people just accumulate wealth in a different way over their lifetimes now. You know, we're starting off more slowly in our 20s with student loans and tougher access to mortgage credit. You know, I mean, it's hard to get a home loan these days. Housing prices are pretty high. But then, you know, once millennials reach their 30s, things get a little bit easier for them, and they do start accumulating wealth. And perhaps these younger millennials are just going to be doing that in you know, 10 years.
And in addition to that age divide, the Fed's research revealed a racial divide, which is something we've seen in many areas of personal finance. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there's a very, very, very stark racial divide here. You know, millennials who, as a whole, like we said, are doing better, only about 11% below where they're expected to be. But when you look at just Black millennials who are born in the 1980s, they're 52% behind where they're expected to be. And those expectations are based on where other Black families were in prior generations. So it doesn't, you know, none of the general racial inequalities of wealth, which are very, very stark, or even in play in that statistic. So that's quite stark. And the thing about this analysis, it didn't really break out specifically why any of the gaps were closed. It just kind of focused on calculating what the gaps were. But you can look at the data set that is the basis for this analysis and kind of get a little bit of a sense. And broadly, you know, with everyone, it seems like one of the things that's happened is more millennials own homes, even though, and that's really offset the fact that they still have a lot of student debt, even, you know, millennials pushing 40. And with Black millennials, I mean, there's been a lot of separate research that shows that they have much more student debt than other racial groups.
You know, we've talked on the show a lot about student loan debt. What does the research say about the impact of higher education, pros and cons?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I guess the debate over student debt has always been, look, you know, your earnings tend to be much higher if you have a four-year college degree than if you don't. So it does seem like a certain amount of student debt is definitely financially worth it to take on, given what you get back in earnings later in life. And what this found was that people who do not have four-year college degrees also are facing a big gap in wealth expectations. So if you're a person who didn't have a chance to graduate from college, your wealth is significantly lower. I think it's about 20% than people in prior generations who didn't have a four-year college degree. So, you know, if you did go to college, it's pretty easy to replicate what mom and dad did at this point, or to some extent, mostly replicate it. But you know, if you didn't get a chance to go to college, then it's going to be pretty hard to do the same.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter, Rachel Louise Enzine. Rachel, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.